Тексты для аудирования к тренировочным заданиям. Вариант 3. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задания по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушиваний у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание первое. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A-F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
The pay is terrible and the hours are long, but at least I have a job. I must admit that I hadn't planned to work in a factory making cardboard boxes and other packaging. But on the positive side, I am a management trainee. I will only have to work on the factory machines for 6 months to get experience, but then I'll go on to the design department, the sales department, accounting, and so on, until I understand every aspect of the business. The owner says that if I work hard, I stand a good chance of being a departmental manager within 3 years.
Speaker B.
We're enjoying our gap year. Just 3 girls on a big year-long round-the-world adventure. Luckily, we managed to find jobs in most places we travel to. We've been waitresses, farm workers, cleaners, and once wore costumes advertising a toy shop. We feel quite proud, actually. But we did hit some problems, particularly in South America, where there was a lot of disapproval about what we were doing. Probably they thought we should be married and keeping home for clever and successful husbands.
Speaker C. When I started modern literature at Sussex University, I somehow managed to fall out with my tutor on the Modern European Mind module. I'm not sure how it happened, but the early tutorials were frosty, to say the least. Then, mid-term, I presented a paper on Thomas Mann. He loved it. After he returned my paper, he asked to meet me, and we spent 2 happy animated hours discussing the short stories and novellas. We're hardly best friends, but the atmosphere in tutorials is 100% better. Speaker D.
I can't say I enjoyed my school days very much. In my opinion, it was far too strict. I also felt that I was forced to study too many subjects and ended up taking several GCSEs in subjects of little interest to me. But I'm off to university now, and I'm not looking back over my shoulder. No more noisy classrooms and compulsory PE. No more memorizing the rainfall graphs for Venezuela and the fascinating yawn politics of Jacobean England. I'm off to make a new start and will begin learning what I need to know to be the person I want to be.
Speaker E.
Living in a hall of residence is not too bad. The people who live on our corridor have become a little community. We often cook and socialize together. It's pretty comfortable in my bedroom, if a bit small. The woods at the back are beautiful, especially now that it is autumn, and make up for horrid green paint with which the walls are painted. Of course, the walls are thin, and it can be a bit noisy studying there, but I prefer to work in the library, so it is not a problem.
Speaker F. I thought I had been robbed. My wallet was gone, with just about all the money I currently have. I reported it, of course, to the campus administrator, and Dad kindly offered to send some money to help me out until the end of term. I was even briefly jealous of my friends, who are now earning a salary rather than going to university. But the great news is that I found my wallet, and truth be told, my room is so untidy that I wasn't entirely surprised. I wonder if I should give my dad a call. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Speaker A.
The pay is terrible and the hours are long, but at least I have a job. I must admit that I hadn't planned to work in a factory making cardboard boxes and other packaging. But on the positive side, I am a management trainee. I will only have to work on the factory machines for 6 months to get experience, but then I'll go on to the design department, the sales department, accounting, and so on, until I understand every aspect of the business. The owner says that if I work hard, I stand a good chance of being a departmental manager within 3 years.
Speaker B.
We're enjoying our gap year. Just three girls on a big year-long round-the-world adventure. Luckily, we managed to find jobs in most places we travel to. We've been waitresses, farm workers, cleaners, and once wore costumes advertising a toy shop. We feel quite proud, actually. But we did hit some problems, particularly in South America, where there was a lot of disapproval about what we were doing. Probably they thought we should be married and keeping home for clever and successful husbands.
Speaker C. When I started modern literature at Sussex University, I somehow managed to fall out with my tutor on the Modern European Mind module. I'm not sure how it happened, but the early tutorials were frosty, to say the least. Then, mid-term, I presented a paper on Thomas Mann. He loved it. After he returned my paper, he asked to meet me, and we spent 2 happy animated hours discussing the short stories and novellas. We're hardly best friends, but the atmosphere in tutorials is 100% better. Speaker D.
I can't say I enjoyed my school days very much. In my opinion, it was far too strict. I also felt that I was forced to study too many subjects and ended up taking several GCSEs in subjects of little interest to me. But I'm off to university now, and I'm not looking back over my shoulder. No more noisy classrooms and compulsory PE. No more memorizing the rainfall graphs for Venezuela and the fascinating yawn politics of Jacobean England. I'm off to make a new start and will begin learning what I need to know to be the person I want to be.
Speaker E.
Living in a hall of residence is not too bad. The people who live on our corridor have become a little community. We often cook and socialize together. It's pretty comfortable in my bedroom, if a bit small. The woods at the back are beautiful, especially now that it is autumn, and make up for horrid green paint with which the walls are painted. Of course, the walls are thin, and it can be a bit noisy studying there. But I prefer to work in the library, so it is not a problem.
Speaker F. I thought I had been robbed. My wallet was gone, with just about all the money I currently have. I reported it, of course, to the campus administrator, and Dad kindly offered to send some money to help me out until the end of term. I was even briefly jealous of my friends, who are now earning a salary rather than going to university. But the great news is that I found my wallet, and truth be told, my room is so untidy that I wasn't entirely surprised. I wonder if I should give my dad a call. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание второе. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано, то есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды.
Now we are ready to start.
David, listen to this. We're going to host an exchange student this year. Her name is Елена Якунина. She's from Bulgaria.
Елена Якунина? That sounds Russian. I once had a pen pal from Russia with the same last name.
Her family was Russian. Her grandfather's parents went to Bulgaria during the Russian Civil War. They were Ukrainian. Oh, this is all so exciting.
Well, I hope she speaks English. It will be a long year if she doesn't.
She probably speaks better than we do. Her dad's a chemist, but her mom teaches English.
I'll bet she's read a lot about America. What do you know about Bulgaria?
Not much, but I'm on my way to the library to check out some books. Dad's even ordered some language books. We're going to practice at home.
That should be a riot.
And mom's learning to cook some Bulgarian dishes.
Won't that be a nice cultural experience? Feeding Bulgarian food to a Bulgarian. Where do you find out about the program?
Mrs. Young, our French teacher, invited a lady from American Field Services to talk to our language class. She told us we could get more information from the Student Exchange Resource Center on the Internet.
How would your parents feel about hosting a foreign student?
They had to think about it for a while, but then they got excited too. The AFS lady came by to talk to us, and then we made arrangements for the new student at school.
I wonder what my parents would think about hosting a foreign student.
Who knows? They might prefer to send you off to some faraway country.
Timbuktu would be fun.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
David, listen to this. We're going to host an exchange student this year. Her name is Елена Якунина. She's from Bulgaria.
Елена Якунина? That sounds Russian. I once had a pen pal from Russia with the same last name.
Her family was Russian. Her grandfather's parents went to Bulgaria during the Russian Civil War. They were Ukrainian. Oh, this is all so exciting.
Well, I hope she speaks English. It will be a long year if she doesn't.
She probably speaks better than we do. Her dad's a chemist, but her mom teaches English.
I'll bet she's read a lot about America. What do you know about Bulgaria?
Not much, but I'm on my way to the library to check out some books. Dad's even ordered some language books. We're going to practice at home.
That should be a riot.
And mom's learning to cook some Bulgarian dishes.
Won't that be a nice cultural experience? Feeding Bulgarian food to a Bulgarian. Where do you find out about the program?
Mrs. Young, our French teacher, invited a lady from American Field Services to talk to our language class. She told us we could get more information from the Student Exchange Resource Center on the Internet.
How would your parents feel about hosting a foreign student?
They had to think about it for a while, but then they got excited too. The AFS lady came by to talk to us. And then we made arrangements for the new student at school.
I wonder what my parents would think about hosting a foreign student.
Who knows? They might prefer to send you off to some faraway country.
Timbuktu would be fun.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3-9. Вы услышите рассказ. В заданиях 3-9 обведите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
A difficult client. When I was 19, I worked in the kitchen of a Creole restaurant in Panama City, Florida. The word Creole refers to people who are descended from settlers in the colonial French Louisiana before it became part of the USA in 1803. And Creole food is great. It's a blend of French, Spanish, and Caribbean styles. I used to knock up fantastic fresh salads, fillet and fry grouper fish from the harbour. I made vast vats of red beans and rice and tureens of gumbo. I boiled great pans of fresh shrimp and cracked open and then fried oysters in white wine. The odd thing is that I'm not a trained chef. Every single recipe was based on a mixture of measures in a recipe book. So many cups of this, shakes of that, tablespoons of Tabasco or citrus, jugs of cut celery, etc. But every meal turned out perfect so long as I followed the book to the letter. I worked in the kitchen with a rather strange guy from Los Angeles called Scott. He had a strange haircut and was disconcertingly cross-eyed. But the waitresses were cute, especially Susie with her long curly brown hair. One day we had a bit of an episode. A woman in the restaurant started screaming and demanding to see the chef. I could hear the commotion from deep within the kitchens and began to look for somewhere to hide. Scott was out that day and there was nobody else in the kitchen. Susie caught me as I tried to hide behind the rice sacks in the larder. "You've got to come out, John. She's gone absolutely mental. The other customers are going to call the cops if we can't sort this." Feeling terribly afraid and inadequate, I was led out to the woman making the noise. She stopped screaming, but continued to shake as she eyed me up and down. Because she'd asked for the chef, I guessed I must have made a terrible mistake in the kitchen. I was alone down there that lunchtime, so whatever was wrong, it must have been my fault. What would she say if she discovered I wasn't a chef at all, but doing a holiday job making recipes from a book? The truth eventually came out. I had served her a basket of whole boiled shrimp. According to the lady, the little devils had little faces and eyes, stared at her and had completely freaked her out. I spoke to her very softly and sat down next to her. I told her I'd take them away and if she still wanted shrimp, I'd peel them myself and bring them to her. She thanked me very much, seemed very happy, and after a short while consumed the shelled shrimp and left. Afterwards, I was again called to the front by Susie. By this time, I got a round of applause from the other customers and $120 worth of tips.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
A difficult client. When I was 19, I worked in the kitchen of a Creole restaurant in Panama City, Florida. The word Creole refers to people who are descended from settlers in the colonial French Louisiana before it became part of the USA in 1803. And Creole food is great. It's a blend of French, Spanish, and Caribbean styles. I used to knock up fantastic fresh salads, fillet and fry grouper fish from the harbour. I made vast vats of red beans and rice and tureens of gumbo. I boiled great pans of fresh shrimp and cracked open and then fried oysters in white wine. The odd thing is that I'm not a trained chef. Every single recipe was based on a mixture of measures in a recipe book. So many cups of this, shakes of that, tablespoons of Tabasco or citrus, jugs of cut celery, etc. But every meal turned out perfect so long as I followed the book to the letter. I worked in the kitchen with a rather strange guy from Los Angeles called Scott. He had a strange haircut and was disconcertingly cross-eyed. But the waitresses were cute, especially Susie with her long curly brown hair. One day we had a bit of an episode. A woman in the restaurant started screaming and demanding to see the chef. I could hear the commotion from deep within the kitchens and began to look for somewhere to hide. Scott was out that day and there was nobody else in the kitchen. Susie caught me as I tried to hide behind the rice sacks in the larder. "You've got to come out, John. She's gone absolutely mental. The other customers are going to call the cops if we can't sort this." Feeling terribly afraid and inadequate, I was led out to the woman making the noise. She stopped screaming but continued to shake as she eyed me up and down. Because she'd asked for the chef, I guessed I must have made a terrible mistake in the kitchen. I was alone down there that lunchtime, so whatever was wrong, it must have been my fault. What would she say if she discovered I wasn't a chef at all, but doing a holiday job making recipes from a book? The truth eventually came out. I had served her a basket of whole boiled shrimp. According to the lady, the little devils had little faces and eyes, stared at her and had completely freaked her out. I spoke to her very softly and sat down next to her. I told her I'd take them away, and if she still wanted shrimp, I'd peel them myself and bring them to her. She thanked me very much, seemed very happy, and after a short while consumed the shelled shrimp and left. Afterwards, I was again called to the front by Susie. By this time, I got a round of applause from the other customers and $120 worth of tips.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.